We're going to begin with verse 8. We'll finish chapter 13 today, Lord willing, and possibly get into chapter 14 a little bit. I've been under the weather for, seems like forever. This is a cold that just won't quit. It just keeps coming back. About the time I think I'm well, I'm not. So anyway, keep praying for me, and hopefully I'm at the end of it now. So anyway, Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Now these are pretty much rules of how to live, and they're good rules. Anyway, we're going to read verses 8 and 9 first. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to understand that while we don't count on our fulfilling of the law for salvation, it's still important that we go by God's law. And in verse 8, it says there in the last part, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, there are other verses, and we're going to read a few of them. I'm going to read one right now. Turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Okay, this is a commandment straight from the Lord. Now, we kind of say, well, the Lord says this, so it's really, really important. Well, yeah, but you know, all of God's word is said by the Lord. He used men to write it in a lot of places, but thus saith the Lord could be added to any verse in the Bible. And he says, you're not supposed to bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Now, this is especially against us, you know, when we have an argument, like the pastor, he likes Dr. Pepper. Of course, Pepsi is the cola of choice in all the rest of the world. But since he's from Texas, you know, it's Dr. Pepper. And I try not to hold that against him. But we need to be careful what we allow to come up between us. And some of these things that break up brothers and sisters is so trivial. We need to understand, you know, hey, Christ died for him too, even though he drinks Dr. Pepper. I mean, I keep going back to that Dr. Pepper thing because it is so ick. But anyway, it goes on and says, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I like me, and there's this little saying I say from time to time, I like me, I think I'm grand. When I'm alone, I hold my hand, you know. But shouldn't I love a brother and sister in Christ as much as I love myself? And maybe more. And he goes on to say, I am the Lord. He's the one that gives the rules. He's the one that gives us the law. We are to keep the law. Again, not for salvation, but because it pleases him. And he is the Lord. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, we're going to read how this is the fulfillment of the law. And turn to Matthew chapter 9. No, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Sorry about that. I was looking at the verse ahead of it. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. Now, Jesus had been talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees here, and this is what happens in verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, what's more important? What's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If you do that, the others are going to be easy. If you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and everything that is with you, in you, you're going to not have that much trouble with the others. And he says that this is the first and great commandment. And he goes on, verse 39 and 40, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two. Love the Lord with everything you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. And the keeping of the law is going to be much easier. If these two are taken care of, then the rest is going to be, well, I won't say easy, but it's going to be easier. Okay, verse 10, back in Romans chapter 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, you know that Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly. He lived the law. He lived a sinless life. And yet, he gave up his life on the cross for me. He fulfilled the law. And love is the fulfilling of the law. Why? Because he loves me. He was the only one able to pay my sin debt. I couldn't do it. And I know each and every one of us here realizes, you know, we're still sinful beings. We still have the old nature in us. And we have to count on the Lord for his salvation. We don't have anything good in us. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Turn to Mark chapter 12. I'm having a lot of trouble with the shakies this morning. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, and this is basically the same thing as the verse we read before. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? or the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the great commandment. Verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these two commandments. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, as we said before. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. This guy, he was pretty smart, wasn't he? He knew the scriptures. And he says, this is better than all the sacrifices in the law. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. He told him, you're not far from understanding. You're not far from understanding. I don't know whether this man was ever saved or not. It doesn't say. But he was not far from understanding. That was the words of Christ there. He told him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. We have a lot of people that are not far. Not far yet, millions of miles away. They know a lot about God's word. And yet, it doesn't apply to them. They don't trust the Lord. You can trust in your own hand. You can trust in your own life, your own goodness, and it will get you absolutely nothing. We need to trust in the Lord. And we need to love the Lord. Galatians 5. Time turning pages this morning. My hands, you have to shake these real bad. Galatians 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it didn't say here, that you're to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, soul, strength, everything. Why is that? Because he's talking to the Galatians here. These were church members there. These were people that were already saved. They already loved the Lord with all this. And he's going on and to tell them, you need to love your neighbors too. It's understood that they love the Lord. That all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, if you love the Lord, you need to love your neighbor. And especially if your neighbor is a child of God. Shouldn't you be close? And we're going to get into a little bit of this here as we go along. Anyway, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love someone, will you try to hurt them? Would you try to do something against them? Normally not. Now, there are times when those that we love do things that are hurtful. But we don't do it continually. I mean, who can hurt you the worst? Somebody that you don't even know or somebody that you love? Obviously, it's somebody you love. It's somebody you don't know, and they say that, you're from Texas, you're trash or whatever. I don't know about that, but fill in the blank, whatever irks you the most. I don't care. Let them think what they want. But if somebody that loves me comes and says to me, "You're from Ohio, you're trash," that's hurtful. We need to be careful how we talk and how we, I'm not sure if comport is the right word, but how we act around those that we love. Because, we have the power to hurt. We need not use that power. We need to love. And therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because God said to do it. Verse 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Now, we're not usually too concerned about time. I mean, when the preacher goes over 30 minutes or 35 minutes or 40 minutes, we might start looking at our watches or something like that, or the Sunday school teacher, the same thing. But this is knowing the time. What? The time. I believe we're in the last times. We need to understand what time we're in. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We need to be about the Lord's business. We can't stay in bed and say, he's in control. He's going to do what he wants to do and everything like that. He wants us to get out and do the work that he's given us. That's what he wants. He's made that plain. We need to wake up. "And now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Didn't we feel, when we first got saved, we felt so close to the Lord. Boy, it just don't get no better than this. But it does. It does. "And now," I was saved, 72 minus 13. That's a lot of years ago. And I'm even closer to the fulfilling of my salvation now than I've ever been. And if the Lord doesn't come back in the next 5 minutes, I'm getting closer and closer and closer. Know the time. Know the time. Be about doing the Lord's business. Verse 12, "For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Now, the night's far spent. We can't do anything about that. It's gone. It's over with. It says, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness," the things that we did. We ought not do them anymore. We need to do the things that please the Lord. "And let us put on the armor of light." What is the armor of light? That's the armor that the Lord gives us. We need to study in his word. We need to be close with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to attend his house whenever the doors are open. And at other times, maybe when other churches have a Bible conference or a fellowship meeting or something like that, we need to be going about being strengthened. God's word will protect you. Verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day." Anymore, it seems like it doesn't really matter. ungodly people are doing things in broad daylight. They don't even try to hide it anymore. But let us walk honestly as in the day, where everybody can see us, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, not doing the things that are evil. Verse 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Christ. Now, there's an old saying, you know, where they show the guy walking in the sand, and there's two sets of footprints. And then all of a sudden there's only one set of footprints, and the guy asks, Lord, where were you? And he says, I'm carrying you. Well, this is the way it is all through our life. We don't necessarily understand it, but he is always carrying us. We need to understand that where we go, Christ goes. Now, do we want to take him some of the places where we go? I'd say no. There's some places we go that I wouldn't want my Savior to have to go there. Anyway, we're gonna do about three or four more verses here in chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, you don't want to argue about things in front of a weak brother or weak sister. Somebody that doesn't know much, you know, they know about, I'm saved and not much else than that. But we don't want to, and there are people that will gag at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's a good saying. I like it. And still, in front of these people, and they don't understand. They don't have the understanding yet. If they study God's Word, if they're instructed by those that have, I'll say a level head, but those that the Holy Spirit instructs. That's where our instruction comes from, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. You know, we read God's Word, but the understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. We need to spend a lot of time in God's Word. It says, receive you, but not to doubtful disputation. Don't do anything to confuse these people. They've just gone through a tremendous change. And they need to know that it's a better thing. You know, to love the Lord is the best thing you can do. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now this is another one of them things. You notice I said trivial things before? I don't care what other people eat, as long as they don't try to make me eat them. I mean, you know, I like spaghetti. I make the world's best spaghetti. Now, I'm not bragging. That's just fact, you know. Somebody takes and they make the spaghetti and they lump it all together with the sauce and the noodles are all together. That's not spaghetti. I'm not sure what it is. But spaghetti is to be made separate. You make the noodles, you make the sauce, you put the noodles on your plate, you put the sauce on the noodles, you put the cheese on top of that. It's supposed to be kind of like a pie. But you don't try to get me to eat imperfect spaghetti. You just don't do it. But one believes that he may eat all things. He can eat spaghetti any way he wants to eat it. But another who is weak eateth herbs. Another can't even eat spaghetti at all. They eat herbs. Now, this isn't talking about those that are vegans. What is that? That's the right word, isn't it? Vegans, where they, hey, it's a proven fact, when you slice a tomato, it screams. So, you know, this thing about not eating meat is, it's not scriptural. But there are people that believe that what you eat is important. If you eat enough to sustain your body, you're okay. If you eat too much to sustain your body, you're not okay. This eating thing, it's a two-way street. It's a good thing. It can be a bad thing. And it goes on in verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. It's not up to us to judge in that respect. That's God's business. He received them. They're his child. And we need to rejoice that, hey, he's saved. He's a brother or she's a sister, whatever. In verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yet he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. This is the last verse we're going to do this morning. It says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? And we're talking about God's servant here. Not some other man's servant. God's servant. It says, to his own master he standeth or falleth. That's up to God. Yea, he shall be holding up. He's going to stand. For God is able to make him stand, just as he makes us to stand. Anyway, that's all we have for this morning. Everybody's sticking around. In about 5 minutes, the pastor's going to have a great message. I think it's going to be about Thanksgiving. I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll see.